Good morning. Happy New Year. Isn't that a wonderful... Thank you, Carlo. God bless you, man. What a wonderful, tender, powerful way to begin our year together. Really celebrating what's most important. And, you know, we're talking transition today. There are some things that we'll never transition from. And that's the centrality of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. About a year and a half or so ago, we began talking about a pastoral transition, and today is a day we want to report on kind of how that's going and what you might expect here in 2015 at Sunrise Community Church. And this is meant to be an interactive and informative kind of Sunday, so you can text questions if you have questions about what we're saying or what might happen. Feel free to text those, and we'll try to respond to those at the end of the sermon time today. I also want to point out that on February 1, in about a month, we'll have another transition Sunday. That Sunday will be a little bit unique as we'll put more of a focus on celebrating and kind of have more ceremony and just celebrating what God has been doing in bringing this whole thing about. The starting point for us today is Matthew 16:18. It's a familiar bit of scripture. It says there, Jesus recorded as saying, "I will build my church." And we've been thinking about that in more ways than one recently as we celebrated our 40th anniversary as a church. Sunrise was planted in 1974, so in 2014, 40 years, and an awesome story of a couple of senior pastors, Pastor Gene and Pastor Rich, faithful in God building His church in this community and really around northern Sacramento, and we're grateful for that story. In our culture, that often involves things like buildings and instruments and electronics and different ministry programs. But really, at the heart of all that, of course, is people, what God does through people, through His Spirit and through His Word. Now, we live in a culture that tends to celebrate the individual. We're a culture that pays attention to celebrities. We're a culture that celebrates talent. And I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and we were kind of looking for a little talent last night. It was kind of a rough night, a little bit of a rough season for us. Even in the life of the church, on occasion, you'll find a whole movement of God, a great work of God, sometimes sort of associated with one name of one person. And there's certainly a place for gifted and talented people. But the truth of the matter is God works in more than just an individual. Amen. God works in the collective. God works in the community of faith. God works in all the people who call Jesus their Lord and Savior. And the reason that's true is that God is so vast. He is who He is, and what He's doing is simply bigger than any one person, bigger than any one set of skills or set of experiences or set of spiritual gifts. We're going to take a look at this principle, sort of the power of and. It goes back quite a long way. Pastor Rich is going to take us into the Old Testament. Yeah.
You know, it goes back to Moses. In fact, probably further than that. When you look in leadership in the Bible and you look at ministry, it's about a team. God raises up people, men and women, but it's a team. It says in Ephesians 4 that He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for their work of the ministry, to encourage your mature people to do what God's called you to do. But God uses a team. It's not just based upon one person. You go back to Moses in Exodus 24. Moses' life is basically separated into 40 years, three 40-year periods. From 0 to 40, he was in Pharaoh's court. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And then from 40 to 80, he wound up running away because of a murder, and he wound up on the backside of a desert and met his wife and his father-in-law Jethro for 40 years. But at age 80, God called Moses to lead His people out of Israel. But Moses did not lead alone. In fact, there are all kinds of things going on there. He not only called Moses, and Moses said, "I can't do this." He brought Aaron alongside of him. But he not only brought Aaron, but he also brought another person, Joshua. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide. This is now after the Exodus, which took place about 1446, 1445 BC. Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went out up on the mountain of God. Moses was 80 at this point, and Joshua was 40 to 45. Now, 40 years later, at the end of his ministry, let's look at a verse in Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, what you have is three messages from Moses. He basically preaches three sermons from Mount Nebo, and then he dies. But during the end of his life, 40 years later, it says, "But commission Joshua." Now, here's God working with Moses. They've been working together for 40 years. So He tells Moses, "Commission Joshua now and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across," that is, across the Jordan River, "and he will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." God uses plurality of leadership. He uses a team. Not only Derek and I have been doing this the last year and a half, but a team of a pastoral staff or administration staff. There's a team that works here of elders and others that make ministry happen here at Sunrise Community Church. We praise God for teams. You not only see it in the Old Testament, but you also see it in the New.
Thanks, Rich. That's true. In fact, if we were to ask who's the most prominent Christian in the New Testament, let's sort of take Jesus out, as he's kind of a ringer, you know, for obvious reasons. But we'd probably say, hey, it's Paul. But Paul wasn't significant just by himself. In fact, relationships impacted Paul. Paul was impacted by Jesus Christ, went from someone persecuting the church to someone promoting the church. But he still had a huge credibility problem. And so this guy named Barnabas became a part of his life, leading him to be able to be accepted by leaders in that nascent church. So kind of one of the patterns we see, if you kind of read through the book of Acts and different scriptures in the New Testament, you see Barnabas and Paul. You see that phrasing, Barnabas first and then Paul. One of the places that shows up is in Acts chapter 13. They're gathered there at a church in Antioch. And if you want to see a mission-minded church, Antioch was the first church where they had an effective outreach to Gentiles. They also were sending people from there. In fact, it happened this way. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Barnabas is named first, and that's interesting. Barnabas was a diaspora Jew. That means he was born to Jewish parents, but outside of the land of Palestine. He was from Levite background. He was born in Cyprus. So he was an outsider living in Cyprus, but of Jewish faith. Then when he moved to Palestine, he was from Cyprus, but an outsider there. So he kind of knew what it was like to be a new kid on the block. And that might have made him very sensitive to people. He was nicknamed a son of encouragement. People liked him. People trusted him with money. At one time, they gave him a significant offering, the church in Antioch, to take to another church in Jerusalem. Barnabas was a special guy, and he was the leader in this relationship with Saul, who we would call Paul. Sounds like Paul needed something, maybe credibility, maybe the relational network that Barnabas had. But before long, as we kind of work our way through the New Testament, it became Paul and Barnabas. Acts records that at Iconium, we can see that scripture, Paul and Barnabas, the order has switched. They went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. Here they're executing their ministry. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. They were doing their ministry together. They were effective. Jewish people believed in Jesus Christ. That didn't always happen. And when it didn't happen, it just really agonized Paul's heart. And one of the reasons that's come out of that is we have the book of Romans, which is kind of his wrestling before God with that. Greeks believed. They even faced persecution together. Signs and wonders came out of their lives together. One of the ideas that we see there is that Barnabas actually became a support to Paul. And Paul became a leader. That says a lot about Barnabas. It says a lot about Paul. Well, I don't want to give you the impression this is kind of a fairy tale relationship. These were real people and they had real conflict. One of their conflicts surfaced around leadership selection. Barnabas had a cousin named John Mark, and Barnabas thought he'd be a great member on their team, and Paul wasn't so convinced, and they actually parted ways over that. But the indication in the book of Colossians is that kind of conflict was eventually mended. In any case, it didn't stop this principle of the power of and of doing things together from continuing to be carried out. In fact, you see Paul and Timothy show up later in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, we can so easily just sort of gloss over that. We know Paul wrote Philippians and away we go. But you know, Paul didn't call just anybody a servant of Jesus Christ. The word there is doulos, it's slave, referred to Jesus as a slave, refers to himself as a slave, and no one else except Timothy. That was a label he reserved just for Timothy. Another place calls him his technon, here's dear son. A very close relationship with Timothy. Near the end of his life, Paul would write to him, "And the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." That's kind of how God does his work. He uses buildings, can use technology and programs, but it's people working together. Moses and Joshua, Barnabas and Paul, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy. We call it the power of and. Now, some people in our church kind of appreciate theology, so let's hit the pause button for just a moment. Let's sort of zoom out to do kind of a wide angle focus. One of the things we know from the Scriptures is that God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three individuals, we could say, but a perfect unity. And you know what? They get along. They like each other. They do fantastic things together. And that's sort of a model for us in this life. It's as if God might have been saying, hey, Moses, it's not all about you. I want you to work with Joshua. And Barnabas, man, you're so well connected, but it's not all about you. I want you to work with Paul. And Paul, you have some tremendous capacities, but it's not all about you. Work with Timothy. And Timothy, it's not all about you. I want you to entrust what Paul's been telling to you to another couple of generations of people. In our own day and age, we reflect on the fact that over 50 times in the New Testament, we're encouraged to love one another, forgive one another, respect one another, prefer one another. Doing life together, doing ministry together. We call it the power of and. That's kind of the way Pastor Rich and I have been called to do ministry together. Pastor Rich, give us an update now on how this has actually kind of been working out in the last year and a half or so.
Good. You might want to pull out these sheets in your bulletin. They're the pink sheets. Don't you like pink? I thought you would. Anyway, on the pink sheets, what you're going to find, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Literally, the front page and the top half of the back page we voted on almost 2 years ago. Actually, we started putting it together 2.5 years ago in 2012. And on March 3rd, we voted on this. And it has to do with this transition. About 5 years ago, I brought up to our personnel and elders, I said, and even our pastoral staff, I said, you know, in the next 3, 4, 5 years, a lot of our staff's going to be transitioning because of age and stage in life. And when I brought that to the elders, their first response is, Rich, we think you've got 5 to 10 years left in you. I thought, okay, I got 5 to 10 years left in me. I felt like a horse, kind of. He's got good teeth, and you got good teeth and you got good feet. Man, this guy's going to be good for 5 to 10 years. And they said, are you feeling okay? I said, yeah, I'm feeling great. I mean, I feel fine. But we got to look at what's happening. We can either wait until we're forced to deal with the transition, or we can trust God to bring about that transition under His direction. And so we started through this process. And as we were talking about it, in June of 2012, Derek and I had lunch. In fact, he was working at First Baptist Church, Elk Grove. He was on staff there, and so we'd meet at Bradshaw's, then it became Perko's, and maybe it's changed some other name since then. That became a place of ministry there at that little restaurant. We met there. In fact, just before I met Derek, I'd already talked to, as I talked to our personnel and elders, a couple of those said, hey, have you thought about Derek maybe as working together as a team member and becoming co-pastors together? And literally, God had put Derek's name on my mind, and two other people also brought his name to me. So we met for lunch there in June of 2012. And one of the things we were looking for at that time was a youth pastor. That's part of that pastoral staff changes. And so as we were having lunch, I said, hey, Derek, do you have anybody that you could recommend as a youth pastor? And he said, he's thinking a minute, and he didn't have much time to think about it, really. So he gave me a name, and I said, would you hire him? He said, I looked down and said, no, maybe not. So I said, okay, well, why would we hire him? And then Derek said this. He said, really, Rich, what it depends on is your vision and mission. And I'd already determined before we got there, because I've been thinking about Derek and praying for the possibility, and a couple other leaders already brought up his name. And I thought, you know, if he talks about vision or mission, I'm just going to go there. I said, you know, it's weird that you brought that up, Derek, because actually we've been talking about our transition at Sunrise for the last couple of years and what that means. And maybe you're part of that transition. Maybe God's calling you to Sunrise. Well, that began a conversation that literally went on for about 7, 8, 9 months, to where I think by the time we got to this document, you can see here we voted on March that we bring Derek on full-time as co-senior pastor. He came in May of 2014. We've done this for a year and a half. And then if you look at it, that I would transition in 2015. Derek would become the senior pastor, and I would become the teaching shepherding pastor, which now has become executive pastor. We'll look at that a little bit later. But this began a process that literally began 4 or 5 years ago. And I came out of a context when I moved here from Seattle. My last few years of ministry up there, we were literally in a co-preaching context there. And it worked very well. And I thought, man, if that could work here in Sunrise. And God has brought that together. So what you're seeing here is the outworking of what occurred 4 or 5 years ago. And then in 2012, we put this together. We voted on it in 2013. And then God began to bring it all to pass. It's not been an easy transition at times. In fact, in many ways, it's like a marriage. Now, Derek and I are both married, okay? I had a lady call me a number of years ago and said, Pastor Rich, would you marry me? And I said, I'm sorry, I'm already married. And she said, that's not what I mean. Well, I knew what she meant, but we won't go there. You know, when you work together as a team, it's like a marriage. And so this hasn't always been easy. I've created some problems for Derek And you know what? He's created some for me too, and I didn't like it. But the point is, you know, we've worked on it together, and we're a team. And you can't just, like Derek said earlier, just because Paul and Barnabas got along well didn't mean, you know, there were some issues and there were struggles they had to work through. But God continues to work through us and smooths out the areas that God wants us to move forward in. And here's what God's brought to pass. So that's kind of how God's led us through this document. And we called Derek to do two things. Not only ultimately be the senior pastor, but we felt we were at a point in our life as a church where we needed to revisit our vision and our mission. And I thought, you know what? At my age and stage, we need someone who's going to take it on to the next stage and someone who could do that. And then also, there's going to be a tremendous turnover of staff. In fact, I told our personnel and elders, 2/3 of our staff will be gone here in 3, 4, 5 years. And so we need to have the person on staff who can be part of that process so that it's not just my team, it's really his team and what God's doing in the future. So literally, when we called Derek, we commissioned him. One of the reasons that God led us to Derek is because, just like he said in that first lunch, well, it depends what your vision and mission is, Rich. So we want someone who's visional and missional. And we also wanted someone who could work together with staff, so as we bring staff on, it could be a new team. Yeah. And so God has done a delightful job of bringing Derek here. It's been a great marriage. I love you, Derek.
Yeah, I love you too.
But I'm still married to my wife.
Okay, if I talk about that vision and mission just a little bit.
Yeah, why not pick that up and tell us where we're going?
In last year or so, we've a lot of public meetings and some voting, and just approved this vision statement for Sunrise: to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and bless. Become is that part of us being transformed, our character being remade, becoming made new into the image of Jesus Christ. Not just coming to church, but God's work, His Spirit, His Word, transforming us. Dark corners of our lives, coming to grip with sin. What does my sin say about me? What's the condition of my soul? As Pastor Rich has prompted us to ask, do I like the human I'm becoming? Am I enjoying Jesus Christ? Am I being transformed on the inside? Secondarily, belonging together, doing life together. I believe that some of the fondest memories that you will have in your life, some of them will happen with the people in this room right now. Might be in a small group context or on a retreat. You might take a vacation together. Some of the most harrowing moments of your life might happen as you reach out and get support from someone else when you have a medical situation or loss or whatever. We are to do life together. We're better together. We don't stop there. We then pivot and look at the world and say, we're here to bless our neighbors and even nations in the name of Jesus Christ. Giving to people who might never give back to us because we've been transformed. And we do it together. For Jesus' sake. Someone has said, most churches excel in belonging. We want to do well at all three of this. We want to take a deep look at our hearts, deep look at our community around us, and a deep look at what it means to be in community and fellowship with one another. That's sort of a what. That's sort of a destination. That's our vision. But how would we get there sort of day in and day out, Tuesday by Thursday by Saturday, etc.? That's really our mission. Our mission is sending and forming people to love Jesus Christ. That's an interdependent, mutual, both and kind of process. We put sending first because we believe we are sent as a church. Let's be theological for just a moment. God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that at a time called Christmas. Maybe you've heard of that, right? God the Father and God the Son sent the Spirit at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Jesus was on earth. He said, if I leave, a comforter, a counselor, someone to guide you into all truth will come. We connect with God by His Spirit today and by His Word. That's happened. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit send the church into the world. The whole church is sent to be a witness to Jesus Christ and to His work. So we'll commission a missionary here and there and so forth and short-term mission teams and all that. But really, all of us have been commissioned or sent by God. So we're a sent people. And in light of that, we need to be formed because it's hard. The work of God is sometimes hard. We have challenges. Sometimes things don't work. It's 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Sometimes 4 steps back. We need formation in something that's more than entertainment or casual, but actually transforms us so we can be effective witnesses, so God will bring His kingdom in our lives, but also in our community right around us. That's sort of a nutshell on our vision and mission. We're going to hear a little bit more about those components in February.
We also have a focus based on that vision and mission. Our focus is, it's right up here. And you'll notice, by the way, your vision and mission is on the back of that sheet. But our focus is to engage, attract, serve, convert, disciple, train, and send into ministry dads and moms ages 25 to 45 with children ages 0 to 25 living within 5 miles of Sunrise Community Church. You know, as soon as you look at that, I can look at that and say, whoa, wait a second, I'm in my 60s. And I'm left out. Not at all. In fact, when I started here 19 years ago, I was in my 40s. And we were reaching our generation when we brought Derek and other staff members on to reach the next generation. And if you're honest with yourself, anybody in their 50s and 60s, you want to know what they're most concerned about if they're married or have kids? It's their kids and their grandkids. You know what I'm most concerned about? My kids and my grandkids. When I'm off this scene, when I'm with Christ in heaven, will they be the next generation reaching their generation for Christ, their neighbors, the students they go to school with, the people they work with. And so we're not at all ignoring the 50s and 60s and 70 or 80-year-olds. That's not at all the point. Unless we reach the next generation for Christ, our church will die. They'll just live for us. We'll die. And so, excuse me, as we look at that generation from 25 to 45 years old, reaching that generation, that second and third generation, look at yourself. Where are you this morning? Are you reaching out to your age group? Are you reaching out to the world around you, your neighborhood, your students, the people you go to class with, the people you work with? Because if you reach out to that generation, next generation, then we fulfilled a focus of not just reaching our age group, but reaching out into other generations. That's huge. So catch it. Become part of it. If you see yourself not in that age group, then realize you're the one that's responsible to bring about the next two generations to the Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us to staff.
One of the things I love so much about working with Rich is he really embodies this. Even if we would not put those words up, and I were to ask you, do you think Rich loves his kids? I mean, yes, we know that, right? Do you think Rich loves his grandkids? Yes, we know that. He's a great model. I think God has given Rich to us for lots of reasons. One of those that we may not have appreciated as much and might appreciate more going forward is he's a model of the very kind of focus we need to have in our lives. Be faithful in our own generation, but also be faithful and vigilant, almost like a priest or looking over the next generations and saying, hey, how can I be a part of blessing? It's the power of and. Moses and Joshua, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy. Rich is a great example of that. Now, as we think about mission and vision and focus and all this stuff, we don't just do this alone. God has really provided a fantastic staff to serve at Sunrise Community Church. And I don't think I'm exaggerating to say, Pastor Rich and I both enjoy coming to work here. We work with really great people. Not all of them get to be on the platform or wear a microphone as often as we do. So we want to just introduce them to you through the screens. And what I'd like to ask you to do is kind of hold your applause. But at the end, could we just give them a rousing set of applause just to thank God for their lives and that they've come to Sunrise to serve us. So let me get this started by introducing someone you might know a little less well because her role is not as visible. Nancy Aird is my assistant. She's actually kind of become an assistant to Pastor Rich as well. We know a good thing when we see it, don't we?
She's great.
She is fantastic at supporting not just us but others in our staff, helping us become more organized, more efficient, setting up processes, and she's introduced a new word to us. It's the word smoothiness. Let's just say smoothiness together. One, two, three.
Smoothiness.
So if you're a lead volunteer here, maybe setting up a class or a mission trip or something going on, she's trying to help you have a smoothier experience here on staff. I'm really grateful that Nancy's here.
You know, I am too. In fact, you're going to see everybody else, but you don't usually see Nancy. So I'm going to have Nancy and her husband, Cecil, stand
up,
guys.
Yeah.
Let's stand up. Come on. Let people see who you are. Thank you, Nancy. She really keeps me organized and moving us in the right direction. Our next one is Cliff Carey. Now, I'm not going to have Cliff stand. We see Cliff. We see Cliff all the time, I tell you. And his wife, April, she's really the brains behind this outfit. But, you know, Cliff came to us last March. She was at Hume for about 15 years. Some of you are parents, but when you were not a parent, when you were in high school group, you were at Hume Lake and you saw Cliff there on staff. Now he's here. Cliff does a great job reaching not only our young people with student ministries, but also their parents. What I appreciate about Cliff and April is their heartbeat for family. It's not just about teenagers, not just about junior high school and college and young adults. It's about how do we connect the family all together to Christ. Cliff's done an excellent job. I'm glad Cliff's here since March. Praise God for that.
Jen Cole leads our women's ministry. She is a dynamo, gifted with grace, humor, enthusiasm, leading in areas of MOPS, Moms Next, our women's retreat. If you're a woman at Sunrise, you're going to be blessed by God through Jen Cole.
Then Carl Conley, most of you, if you've been here long, you know Carl. Carl's been in church, 25, 30 years, I think, Carl, right? Somewhere in there. He's been on staff about 15 years or so. I could be off a year or two. And Carl's been our executive pastor the last number of years. And primarily his focus as executive pastor has been in the area of finances and facilities and procedures and policies and all that stuff. He works with the finance committee as well as the personnel commission and our elders. And he's done an excellent job. So we appreciate you, Carl, and thank God for the gifts he's given you and the way you keep us straight. And financially, one of the reasons we're in the shape we are is Carl's done a very good job with our finances. Thank God, Carl.
Loretta Hawkins oversees our beautiful campus, including the recent improvements and a few more still to come, as well as leading our single largest event, which is Bethlehem Village. Over 5,000 people attending this year. I don't know the exact number, dozens, hundreds of people volunteering in that ministry. She's going to lead us into Sanctuary at Sunrise, where we provide hospitality and a night of rest and food to perhaps around 100 homeless people in the middle of February.
Rachel Jackson is a Worship Arts Associate Pastor. She came on literally a year ago, November. She leads our first service. She leads choir and orchestra and all of her first service worship arts. What I love about Rachel is her heartbeat for Christ. And she's not at all tentative about asking questions. She has no problem walking into something and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Or even saying, I disagree. Or what do you think about this? So Rachel's been a tremendous addition, not only to Worship Arts, but also our pastoral staff.
Susan Newman is a veteran on our staff, and she's doing exactly what we're talking about in this sermon as she helps transition adult ministries to Pastor Greg Triplett, his leadership, and a new ministry team there. A wonderful spirit, wonderful servant. We're going to be celebrating her retirement in the month of March this year.
Steve Padilla has been on our staff about 3 years now. Literally, he came to Sunrise as a 20-year-old and ultimately became a Christian here and then went on in ministry and doing a number of other things. And about two and a half, three years ago, Steve started attending here in between ministries. And then we brought him on part-time and he became full-time. He heads up our Worship Arts ministry. Steve and Rachel are a great team together. And with Chanel in that office and Tina, they just do an excellent job. We appreciate his heartbeat. And as a team, they do a tremendous job. So praise God for Steve.
Pastor Kim Shaw is our new children's ministry pastor. Started just a couple of months ago. She is a find. She is a leader. She's reorganizing our children's ministry to serve our younger families even better. In fact, if you're on the fence, you're thinking about getting pregnant, go for it. Kim Shaw is here. We're ready for you.
Yeah, the way we're going to grow our children's ministry is everybody have a kid, okay? Then it's going to move forward. Greg Triplett, you already heard from Greg this morning. He led the service announcements and so forth. Greg came on in September. He was with Campus Crusade for about 11, 12 years. He was at USC for a number of years, the last 4 or 5 years at Sac State. And then he came on staff, him and his wife Amanda and their twin daughters. Greg is just sharp. He's very organized. He has a great heartbeat for Christ. And one of the things I appreciate about our staff as we look at them as a whole is, you know, all of our staff have issues. They're just like you. Nobody's perfect here. Paul wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't. We're not. I can definitely tell you Derek isn't. Man. I think he can tell you I'm not. Man, before he came, I had a lot of hair and so did he, but we pulled each other's hair out.
Yeah.
I tell you. We're not perfect. The point is, our staff has issues just like you, but the difference is, our staff knows what their issues are individually, and they're working through them, and they're also doing ministry in the midst of it. So being a healthy minister or pastor or someone who can do ministry isn't someone who doesn't have issues. It's just the opposite. It's someone who knows what the issues are, but those issues are not what's defining them. If you're defined by your issues, you need to move on with Christ. So now your issues are, here's what they are. So how is God directing me so that now I can minister because of those issues? And I can be used by Christ in people's lives because I have struggles in my own life like they do. So God's given us a healthy staff, and I would say right now, our staff is the healthiest it's ever been since I've been here. Now, by that, I'm not comparing or putting others down. That's not my point. That's not my issue here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, God has brought the right people on board so that we can reach the next two generations for Christ and our community and the world for Christ. Aren't you glad? I praise God for that. Thank you.
This staff belongs to Jesus Christ, and they're loaned to us for a purpose. God's been forming them long before they knew of Sunrise or Rich or Derek or whatever. But they've come here, as Rich and I have been called here, with a purpose around becoming and belonging and blessing. Can we thank God for their lives?
Mm-hmm.
God is good. Well, there are a couple of other guys on staff. We have a photo of them. There we are.
Whoa. You know, before you clap.
Yeah. I'm not sure they're, I don't know why they're clapping.
Before you clap, there's another photo you need to see here. It's not Bonnie and Clyde, so be thankful for that. Bonnie. No.
So some people have asked, well, what happens to Rich? Rich is going to continue to serve full time on our staff.
Thank you.
As I become senior pastor, I've asked Rich to become executive pastor. One of the things that we need is to make sure that all these new staff, and I think there are like 12 names there, about 8 of them are new to Sunrise in the last couple of years. What we want to be sure happens is that they have a good shot at having a good first or second or third year here, which means connecting with you guys. That whole power of and is not just, you know, get hired at Sunrise, but we want to help people assimilate, develop skills, be able to serve fruitfully. Pastor Rich has a lot of experience. He's going to be loving and shepherding our staff. We're excited about that.
You know, I'm looking forward to it, too. And I've had a few people ask me then, wait a second, if you're executive pastor, what's Carl? Executive pastor has been defined many ways in many churches. Literally, Carl's job description has not changed much.
Yeah.
Carl is working, like I mentioned before, facilities and finances, recovery ministries, with communication, and also our personnel and finance commission. I'll be working, my gifts are primarily in the areas of leadership, teaching, shepherding, and encouraging. I'll be working primarily with staff and with a lot of our new staff and a number of you. I'm going to be able to maybe shepherd you, encourage you, and bless you and help us become stronger as a staff. So I'm looking forward to that. Some of those things I have been doing, and I'm thankful for the change. You know, at my age and stage in life, I've had people ask me the last even few weeks, well, what's it like working part-time? I've actually had to work harder. Derek's a taskmaster. Okay, I've actually had to work harder, and because of all these changes last year, I didn't even take all my vacation. I'll be taking some more, a little extra next year. But the key here, what's going on is God's doing some great things here at Sunrise. If you look at that box that you see in the back, as of the January 1st, and we've literally been operating this way for maybe 6 or 8 months. Derek is the senior pastor, and Derek, I want to say you're my senior pastor. I love you. Praise God that you're here, and thank God for helping me transition this to you. And he's also our missions director. I'm working as executive pastor. Derek will be preaching 2/3 of the time. I'll be preaching about 1/3 of the time. And we also have a few other guest speakers that will be coming in there. Derek's focus will primarily be with the elder board. I'll be there occasionally. I'll primarily be working with personnel commission. And Carl will primarily be working with the finance commission. So we have a few changes going on, but God's putting this together. And thank you for helping us meet the needs financially to help make all this happen. What else is happening?
You know, with all this going on, I figured it'd be a great time to go on a mission trip. So Thursday, actually we'll fly to Uganda. I'll be there for about 16 days. A couple of guys just left yesterday. So that's Hal Hansen, Paul Swanson, and Tim Crummett. And then Mark Bennett and his son Dawson, myself and my oldest son Noah. We'll be digging and installing some wells, speaking at and supporting a youth conference, and checking some connections for possible future teams to Uganda. I'll be back on January 24th. And then, as I mentioned, on February 1, we'll have this other transition Sunday, kind of with everybody sort of with some common understanding. We'll be celebrating the great things that God has been doing here. And one of the things we'll do in that service is honoring Pastor Rich. 45 years of vocational ministry. 40 years as senior pastor. Now an intentional, thoughtful, prayerful transition process related to that specific role. And then refocusing to love and shepherd the next generation of pastors coming in the life of our church. Pastor Rich is pretty easy to honor. So I encourage you to be here, invite a friend as we honor him in a special way as he continues to serve at Sunrise on February 1.
I'm thankful for... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we've got a challenge in this for all of us, this whole thing about the power of and. So I would encourage you to say, hey, where do I fit in this thing God is doing? When you think about Moses and Joshua, Paul and Timothy, Barnabas and Paul and so forth, Rich and Derek, are you connecting with someone else in ministry? We're all ministers. We all have a mission. We all have the Spirit of God. We all have the Word of God. Are you serving? It's a great opportunity to step forward and serve in a new way. If you're a veteran serving, it's a great idea to put your arm around someone else. By the way, did you like seeing a couple of generations of Coles up here leading worship? Man. Way to go. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're going to see God do more and more of that as we go forward. Well, we want to make sure there's some time for questions and answers. So if you have a question, be sure to text that in. I think we have Pastor Rachel with us, and she's going to field some questions that we can talk about today.
Somebody's asked me, as Rachel's coming in, what about the DNA of Sunrise? How's it changing? You know, whenever you have new people, you have different sets of gifts. But as far as our bottom line, the foundation of our DNA, it's not going to change at all. We're committed to Jesus Christ and the Bible. But we love Christ, we love the Word of God, we love people. Mm-hmm. And the great commandments are love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. So our commitment is to Christ and the Bible. So if that's what you're looking for in a church, that's where we're going to be focusing. But it's also on loving people and taking the Word of God to the next generation. So that DNA only changes because there's personalities with different gifts. But the foundation of that doesn't change at all. Rachel, any questions?
Yeah, I got a couple. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Derek. We know you're passionate about missions. What drives that for you?
Yeah, it's experience and it's scripture. So at some point early in my life, it just dawned on me that I had become a Christian and I had a destiny in heaven. The biggest questions were answered. And I got to grow up in Northern California, not a particularly wealthy family, but regular benefits that we have growing up in this culture. And I realized that's unusual. If you look around the world globally today, historically across time, that's a lot of blessing. And so I thought, what should my life be about? Getting a little bit more, competing with my neighbor, maybe getting a faster car or a bigger house, or maybe pivoting, and this whole rest of the world, the 90% that God also loves that don't have a destiny in heaven today and aren't blessed as I am, even materially, maybe my life could contribute to that. And of course, we know lots of scriptures that support this idea of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
So, let's see here. How is the chemistry between the staff that's been here for a while with all the newcomers?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the background of that is we're a 5C staff. Those are the values we work on internally. We teach and we encourage. We even evaluate one another around our calling, our character, our competence, our chemistry, and then close relationships. That means we don't evaluate relationships, but we want people to have a life outside of being on staff and not use people up and make sure their marriages can thrive. The idea of chemistry, I think it's going really well. It doesn't mean we don't have stuff to work on. We always do. People tend to wiggle. They tend to be in motion. So there's always stuff to work on, but we're intentional about that. We usually take a couple of two-day retreats a year. There are no agenda, no guest speaker retreats. That is, we're the agenda, where we focus on things in our lives and trying to get closer to one another. We meet every Tuesday morning virtually, and I really enjoy coming to work here on staff. I think the chemistry is good. It doesn't mean there aren't hard conversations to have. There probably always will be, and that may be a sign even that we're pressing into chemistry. You guys are both on staff, so you can comment about your experience.
Yeah, one of the things I like, I mentioned just a little bit earlier, our staff knows their issues, and they're ministering for Christ out of that. Well, that's not defining them. So that's healthy, and that's good. That's the way it should be. So as I look at our staff, it still doesn't mean we don't have issues. We do. We have different struggles that we work with one another. You're going to have those issues. But we try to work with them in a biblical way, in a spiritual way, in a godly way, with a heart for God and a heart for one another. So I see a great chemistry here at Sunrise.
What are your issues?
You know what? That's on a need-to-know basis only. But you are one of them.
Okay. I have no doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
I think those of you who know me at all, you know some of my issues. My biggest issue is myself, okay? I have to work on me and let God work on me. And yielding to God, it's easier for me to begin to do stuff because of my own giftedness and my own personality instead of trusting God to use me the way He wants to use me. So I have to trust Him there.
I have a few interesting ones. Lots of comments. One of them is, one person here says he loves your manly sweater. I know it was an important Sunday because he was wearing his pink sweater. So,
So what's your issue?
Second, after 40 plus years of pastoring, how do you feel Sunrise has grown as a whole?
You know, Sunrise has always been a healthy church. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we haven't had issues and we haven't had struggles at different times, but my 19 years here have just been a tremendous pleasure in serving Christ. And what I've seen the growth is just people working through their stuff and still moving on and still trying to minister to the community. A lot of churches, they have this big folder, all it's this big thing or this next big thing. I've never seen that at Sunrise. We don't have the next big thing. What we have is what God's doing through us in very small ways with hundreds and hundreds of people using these small ways throughout the community for Christ, whether it's a food bank or whether it's juvenile hall or whatever it is. We just have people serving everywhere. And so we're not trying to make a big splash. That's not our point. We're trying to connect with wherever God's placed us, in the workplace, in the community, with our families, and wherever God puts you, in the schools. Amen. So that's been a very healthy thing about Sunrise.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one other area I should mention. Literally, there are about 100 people that have come out of Sunrise the last, well, since our existence, that are in full-time ministry one way or another. Men, women, young people, serving Christ throughout the world, as well as the United States. And then just the body here. Most churches, 20% of their people are serving Christ. We have probably 60 to 70% of our people serving Christ even here in one capacity or another. Amen. That's different than most churches. And we praise God for that. Let's continue to move forward. Watch God. Watch what God's going to do.
Amen.
All right. So I have another one here. They keep coming in. Ah! Oh, here it is. Okay. Being head pastor is a huge responsibility. How can we pray for you and support you in this change?
Yeah. It is. You know, we can only do these things through Christ. I think ministry is beyond any person. Any ministry is. The work of God is. The work of God isn't really a human thing. It's God working through fallen people. So you can pray for me. You can pray for humility. You can pray for resilience. You can pray for wisdom. You can pray for me around those five C's. I'm growing in each of those. I haven't arrived at all. You can pray for my wife, Elise, for our boys. If you love me, pray for my boys. I mean, that's sort of an equation, you know, in my life. You can pray for me and Pastor Rich. And you can ask me how it's going. And especially if we have the time and environment, I want to try to answer that question. And I want to grow. I hope I haven't stopped growing. I've come here to grow. I'm hoping Sunrise can be a place where that happens.
One of the things I've appreciated about Derek is that even in the midst of struggles or problems at times, I've just seen, instead of a reaction to where I'm going to prove something, I've seen a humility and, hey, what's God doing here? What's He showing me? Where do I need to learn and grow? And I think with that, you just heard His response. Christ is the head of the church. The buck doesn't stop here. The buck stops there.
Yeah.
All I am is a conduit. So I've had peace with that throughout my years of ministry because it wasn't dependent on me. I used to think it was at different times. The ministry, I can be used by God in great ways if I yield to God. If I don't, then I can screw up a lot of people pretty poorly, pretty quickly.
Amen.
So it's how do we yield to God and recognize Christ the head of the church?
Amen.
I love your spirit for that, Derek.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You know, we probably better have some people come up and pray, huh?
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks.
We want to invite the chairman of our elder board is Dan Elmhurst. The chair of our personnel commission is Mark Rickabaugh. We don't want to give you the impression that Rich and I, you know, go in a room, close the door, and make all these decisions by ourselves. That's not at all what happens. We're involved with the elder board, of course, and with the personnel commission. We have some very gifted servants leading those groups. Would you encourage Dan and Mark as they come to the platform? God bless you.
God's good. Thank you.
We wanted to give them an opportunity to give you their perspective on this last transition process and going forward to 2015, and then invite them to pray for us as we step into this year. Dan?
Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Rich. I had a unique opportunity during the summer picnic celebrating our 40th anniversary to sit next to the previous two elder board chairmen, James Cole and Steve Heller. And during that time, we had a conversation that really every elder board has kind of a season of purpose. If you go back to Dan Knowing and then to Steve Heller, it was about the capital campaign, which was really the stewardess, being a good steward with the finances that God has given us. Then moving on to James Cole, he really helped lead the elder board as we talked about these transition and the transition plan that we have. If you look at it now, though, God has really prepared and given us an excellent group of people to help lead us. God has given us a building and a group of people, and now really the elder board group, what we have to do now, we go to work. Now we look at this vision that we want to go do, and we want to go make an impact on the community. Mm-hmm. And to help make that happen, these folks are new. We have existed here for 40 years, but the staff is about 60% new. So each of the elder board members have partnered up with one or more of the staff with the purpose of really helping them get connected, get comfortable to maximize the tools and the gifts that God has given them. And so one of those folks is Derek. I am his friend, and together we meet regularly and challenge each other to make sure that we're listening to what Christ is saying and where He is leading us.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan. I'm Mark, and I'm on the Personnel Commission, and just a little background is there's five of us. We come from different walks of life, and Our job is to come alongside and support and advise and look at the people who work at Sunrise Church. So it's the personnel, human resources, taking in mind state and federal labor law and stuff like that. We're trying to provide an atmosphere where people can reach their potential and have God work through them for all of us. And just to let you know that this group of five people have been part and parcel of all of this transition that you've seen and are 100% in support. We've been behind them, praying for them, lifting them up, supporting, trying to get them to stop wearing a pink sweater. We're working on it.
You want to borrow this?
No, I'm talking. You're not. I love Rich. He's my buddy.
That's mutual.
I'm making sure he's taking extra vacation time in 2015 so we play more golf together.
There you go.
I have nothing to add to what Derek and Rich just shared with you other than I was sitting there realizing that I'm an older guy. I've been a Christian since 1970. And this is the first church service I have been to like this. A passing of the baton, a brotherhood. There is so much care for this church and this congregation. It's a marvel. And I love being part of it.
We do too. Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the people that you brought to us to help lead this church. God, I thank you for Pastor Rich Sherman and personally thank him. There's been no greater person in my life that has drawn me closer to a personal relationship with Christ than him. God, I thank you for Pastor Derek, our senior pastor, and my senior pastor.
And Lord, we know this is your church. This is your body. This isn't Rich's church. It's not Derek's church. But you've called them to these very significant offices, and we lift them up. And we pray that we can all support and all be part and belong to this wonderful church that we call Sunrise. And as we have encountered you, as Carlo pointed out to us earlier, in the past, we look forward to encountering you in 2015 and beyond because we know you're at work. We thank you for that and we praise you for that. In your son's name, amen.